I gave up so much, but I gained so much more than that.
Thank you for joining For Our Special Kids, where we openly and honestly discuss the magic and the mess of raising a child with special needs. We are thrilled to have you here and hope this time provides you with some wonder and wisdom. I'm your host, Jennifer Lansing. Let's get started. Whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt, the universe is unfolding as it should. Unknown. That message is engraved on a rock that sits in my office. Today's episode with April is the personification of that belief. She is the next in our series, Meet Amazing, and her story makes me want to rename the entire series to something like Meet Outstanding, Selfless, Intuitive, Giving, Heartfelt, Vulnerable, Funny, Amazing. But that's really long and it doesn't roll off the tongue. So April's here for another Meet Amazing. And I know that when she shares her story with you, you will be inspired. We all can do hard things. And April shows us that today. I hope you enjoy and let me know what you think. So hi, I'm Jen.
Hi, Jen. I'm April. So nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. Thanks for doing this. I can't even imagine what's going on in your world.
Thanks for sticking with me through the challenges of scheduling.
Well, you know, I have our Meet Amazing series for the podcast, and I just kept looking at your story, and I'm like, I've got to get her to tell her story because it is amazing. I mean, amazing isn't even the right word, April. Seriously, it's not even the right word.
It's a nutty story. It's you couldn't make this up.
No,
you know, like,
no. And I've been like tracking you since you decided to close the business. Tracking. You like that? That's another way of saying stalking.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's what the internet is for. Stalking, right? That's what it's for.
At least that's what the Insta is for. It's all about stalking.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let me introduce you just for everyone.
Yeah.
And then I cannot wait for you to just spend a little bit of time blowing people's minds. Let's just say that. Here we go. So April Perry is with me today. She is a, get this, you guys, single mom of three unique kids. Her goal is to inspire others in challenging situations with heartfelt, authentic, and often comical storytelling. I love that.
That's right.
She says, I strive to shed light on the beauty of diversity and resilience in the human experience. You have three children. Right. One, Lily, she's 14, rare genetic disorder. The second is Luca. He was diagnosed at 2 years old with autism. He's 10. And then Lucky, who is 8, the youngest in a unique family with some challenges of his own. Okay.
That's okay. Right.
Deep breath. So how do you even keep oxygen in your body? And I mean, how do you do this? You're amazing. You're like the epitome of our series, Meet Amazing.
It's funny because people ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely no idea.
Right. Because this is your life.
There's no backseats. I always say there's no backseats. There's no receipts. Like you can't send them back to sender. Like that's not a thing.
I'm always like, you can't stuff them back in the vagina.
Mm-mm. It just doesn't. No. You can't. So you have to learn to let a lot of things go. Mm-hmm. You have to really like show yourself grace, show other people grace. It's not always going to look like other people. I think a lot of it, that process, that sort of like grief process, right? So you go through the stages of why me, and then you go through the grief, and then you go through the anger. Like there's so many stages of it. But what's really interesting about, for me, it's funny to say grief because you always associate that with death. But this is not that kind of situation. Like you're constantly living in the situation that you're grieving what you thought it was going to be. So I always say you have to continuously grieve and let it go, grieve and let it go, grieve and let it go. Like you have to choose it. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that I wanted to give my kids an amazing childhood. Like I just wanted them to feel loved and to feel seen and just to feel accepted exactly as they were without trying to change them. You know, people always ask me about my kids and they're like, oh, this cures autism and this cures this. And I'm like, but they're not broken.
Yeah.
I don't need to fix them. They're mm-hmm. not broken. I don't have the urge to fix them. Mm-hmm. It's a mental game. I would say it's like a mental game, right? Like the whole thing is a mental game. How can you get through it? How can you make it better? How can you enjoy yourself? I do have to say, when they were little, so when my marriage broke up, my kids were 7, 3, and 1 and change. I had 3 in diapers at the same time.
Yeah.
I had 3 that I was feeding at the same time. Like, it was literally like having triplets by myself. I ended up pulling myself together, getting into therapy, getting anxiety meds, really helping me with like that piece of it. I would literally just walk around shaking because I couldn't put a thought together. None of my kids like to sleep. It was just, it was like the Wild West. Like I always say.
Yeah, you were in the survival mode. I mean, that was the only thing you could do was simply survive. And that meant food, clean bed, food, clean sleep. I mean, that's it. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, you know, over the course of the years, obviously things have improved tremendously. Our life is so different than it was when my marriage first broke up. I've learned so much about myself. I've changed so much. I've done a lot of self-development through this. I always say that like the day that like Lily was born, I was too, like this new person was born. She changed me down to my core. And then the other two did the same thing. They continue to like change me and shape me into this person that I'm actually really, really proud of now.
Isn't that fun? I mean, I know that's not a fun process, but that's fun to say. That is so beautiful to be able to say. I talk about that all the time. My world took a 180 degree change. I just, my entire world changed. And I am such a better person because of my daughter. I'm such a better person. I laugh at who I was before. I cry for who I was before.
I'm embarrassed of who I was before this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like the things that I took for granted and the things that I got wrapped up in and the things that I couldn't let go of. And now it's just like laughable because I always say like when you go to the edge, like for, you know, we've had many, many circumstances where Lily was like on the edge. Once you go to the edge and like you see the scariest thing you can ever see, like nothing shakes you anymore. No.
That's true.
Like we've been to the end and back, you know, like yeah. I just feel like you can always say like, I got through that. I can get through this. I got through that. I can get through this. Mm-hmm. I got through that. I can get through this. Yeah. It also makes you a really, really good creative problem solver. You know, the one thing I always say to people, like friends and people that I pass, like everything is figure outable. Everything's figure outable. There's always a way. They're like, how are you not getting shaken? I'm like, because you can't. If you get shaken every single time something comes up, you'd walk around miserable. And I don't want to be miserable.
No.
And I want to be the cool mom and I want to be the fun mom. And I want them to feel like they can be relaxed and be exactly who they are, whatever that looks like for them. So now just looking back, because everybody's in a really good place right now. Lily's in a great place health-wise, which is a huge stress relief. Luca's in a great place developmentally. He's doing amazing. He's communicating so well. He's able to tolerate a lot of things he couldn't tolerate before, like different situations where he would have had a real big meltdown or like nothing now. And then Lucky, who's little, he's also becoming more articulate about what he needs. And we're able to do things together that we weren't able to do before. So it's just, we've gotten to this really good place where we're actually getting out of survival mode and we're enjoying our life, which is really freaking awesome.
Congratulations. Deep breath. So let's back up a little bit because this did not just happen. I mean, you have worked hard.
No.
You're very, very open on social media about your life. And I know that you get challenged a lot about why do you put so many videos up about your children? Why do you put so many videos up about Lily? So let's back up a little bit and talk about Lily in particular. She's your first. She's 14, a rare genetic disorder. I know you lost a child prior to Lily, and then you had Lily, and there was a lot of controversy about why wouldn't you just have aborted her when you knew? So I know that's a hard question. And
so remember, this is, it's not anymore. Yeah. It was, and it's not anymore because I feel very secure in my answer and very secure in my feeling about it. You know, this was 2010. So there was like no big social media, like Facebook was like just a thing. And people definitely weren't talking about stuff like this. It was more lighthearted. I didn't have anyone to go to. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never met anyone with a disabled kid. This rare genetic disorder that no one has, that no name for, like they couldn't even tell me what the future was. And I just had this weird inner calling So we lost the first baby when I was 20 weeks pregnant. It was a little girl. She had the genetic disorder. They had done some testing because there were some markers. I ended up losing that pregnancy. And they said, you know, go ahead, go home. You guys are completely healthy. They did a whole workup on us, genetic workup. Go home, try again naturally. This will never happen again. This was like a total fluke. And it was weird because I went home. So I said to my then husband, I said, I'm going to try again. But no matter what happens, I'm going forward. I will be going forward with this pregnancy. So if that doesn't sit well with you, then you might want to like get off the stream. And he was like, no, I'm in it. Like he really trusted me. But I knew very early on, like I had a weird instinct that she was going to be a girl and she was going to have the same rare genetic disorder. And she did.
Yeah.
So when we got the results, I was about probably like 9 or 10 weeks pregnant because they can do a biopsy from the placenta. It's incredible. And when we went to get the results at the geneticist's office, I knew it. Like I didn't even flinch. It was such a weird inner knowing.
Yeah, intuition.
Yeah. And with her, since that moment, it's been intuition with her. She doesn't speak. She's nonverbal. And people are always like, how do you know? I'm like, I don't know how I know. I just know.
You just know. Mm-hmm. It's called claircognizance. It's knowing. It's clear knowing. Mm-hmm.
It's that like, I'm not a calm person. But with her, I get really calm.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get a weird calmness inside, which is not who I am. So my ex-husband and I, even to this day, when she's in a situation like that, he's always like, what does your gut tell you? Like, he's like, you know everything. How do you know everything? I'm like, I don't know. I know. Mm-hmm. I just know.
Yeah.
So I knew, of course, I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I was like, if I get 1 minute with her, I want it. If I get 1 year, I want it. If I get 1 hour, I want it. Whatever God will give me with her, I want that time. And I was like completely signed up for that. And then we got so lucky because they told us she was going to be stillborn. They told us she would never even be born. And I was like, what do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, doctors don't know everything. And obviously they didn't. She's 14 now. Obviously she's had her share of challenges. But as much as possible, she has a normal life. She goes to school. She has friends. She fights with her brothers. She has grandparents that love her. She has a beautiful room. She's like a queen in our house, like the queen of our house. So yeah, it's been a really interesting journey with Lily. And like I said, it's been such a spiritual journey as well as like a medical journey. I swear to God, I could get my nursing license. I'm like, I'm going to get a nursing license. I'm going to show you guys. I know a lot of stuff.
First of all, I'm sorry about the first baby girl.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
But you know what? Lily was supposed to be the one, and you know that.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I can say that because I know you know that.
Yes.
Lily is magical. You see her light in the videos so that you post, and she is so present and yet so ethereally not present. And that's a really beautiful thing, I believe. I'm working on how do we get other parents of typical children to start looking at their children with magical eyes and saying, you know, you are magical. Yes. You are here. You're a beautiful human being and you're magical. We just get the opportunity to see it firsthand because our children have disabilities and the magic just like beams from them. So first of all, I just wanted to make sure that I just know it and I feel it. And I love seeing the two of you interact. And I love just seeing her being present even on like the stoop of of your house. Like I see sometimes you're on the stairs and she might not even give you eye contact all the time, but she's there and so in it with you. And I can feel it just over the Instagram. So that's really beautiful. You've had a really huge medical decision that you had to make a few years ago. Talk with me about the time when you realized, we're going to need to get a kidney transplant for my daughter.
In 2017, she had a strep infection and it turned into sepsis. She was in the hospital for 175 days. We almost lost her several times. It tanked all of her organs. She already had very tiny, poorly kidneys, and the sepsis took another hit on it. She was in the hospital with CVVH, which is like a 24-hour dialysis machine. Her kidneys were not working. This machine was doing all the work. When she got a little bit better and she was able to be discharged to go home, our nephrologist was like, these kidneys are like on the way out. She's okay right now. We were able to give her medication to maintain her numbers and stuff. But he was like, we got to keep a close eye. She was able to make it another like 6 years with very close care, you know, with her close diet. And then we found out last year, it's go time. she was having a lot of seizures, like a lot of seizures, which was very much not in alignment with who she is. She was not tolerating her food, sleeping all the time, she just wasn't herself. It turns out she needed a kidney. So this is the other weird thing. That same feeling that I had in that genetics office, it was the same exact feeling when they said she was going to need a kidney. I was like, I'm the donor. I already know. And people were like, how do you know that? You don't know that. I was like, I do. I don't know how to explain it. It's really weird. It's very woo-woo, but like, I don't know how, I don't know. And they were like, no, you don't know yet. You haven't gotten the final confirmation.
Fine. Let's get the paperwork. But yeah.
And it was just literally just going through the motions. And I was so calm about it. So calm the entire time. Everyone else was panicking. And I was like, we got this. We got this. So it took about 6 months of testing and physicals and every doctor and dentist. Like, you have to be completely worked up. They have to test your antibodies 2 or 3 times to make sure that you guys are a match. They have to do all kinds of stuff, which is basically like where they take her blood and your blood and they put it together and like see if it
coagulates,
like jives.
Yeah.
Everything was like
perfect. You can't see, but April's kissing her lips like, mwah, mwah, mwah. Yes, perfect, perfect, perfect. It was all.
And yeah. It was just funny.
It was divine.
It was like such a divine thing. It really was. This kid is just such an incredible teacher. The whole thing is just very magical. To me, it's very magical.
Mm, what a gift.
Yeah. Everyone says like, oh, she got this gift. And I'm like, no, she gave me the gift. Like, she gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you guys are misunderstanding this. Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like, I'm the one who's learning.
It was like such an honor, you know.
Teal's middle name is Honoré, which is honored. You know, we're just honored to be her parents. So I feel that for you. It's honored. It's very honoring to be.
Yep.
We talk about it's magical and it's messy, right? So I'm very honest about, man, I'm not always the parent who's like, this is all peaches and cream. It's amazing. And I'm leading this perfect life with my disabled child. No.
Totally.
Okay. I cry. I hit walls. I mean, not literally, but I mean, we hit emotional walls. We hit mental walls, all of that. But
absolutely.
If I were to ever, you know, change anything, it would just be that Teal had an easier life. That's it. Like, I just want her life to be easier. Anything that I can do. And I mean, So you end up donating your kidney to this beautiful girl and she blossoms, right? Like, her coloring changes, everything. I remember you posted, because I was tracking you pretty quickly, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. Like, this isn't just, oh, I'm giving hair. It's, I am giving an organ to my, and organ transplants are huge. I mean, this was a big thing for me to watch. My background's in medicine and I was very, very keen to hear your story. So talk with me about the changes that you started seeing in Lily.
So what was interesting about the transplant that made it even more complex is that they took both of her existing kidneys and both of her ureters out. Typically in a transplant, they leave those in and the donor organ is a third. They completely like took everything out. They stripped her down and they took my kidney and my ureters. It was all riding on that.
It's all or none.
But it started working instantly. It worked on the operating table. She started peeing instantly.
I had shivers.
It was insane. So I didn't see her the first day because I was so ill. And so remember, I was in the adult hospital and she was in the children's hospital. It was only connected by like an air bridge. Her dad was with her. And I was in the adult hospital, so it was hard for me because I couldn't really move my legs in the first couple of days because you're just so sore. So I think it was like day 2 I saw her and I had to be like wheeled like down, up, down, around, down, up, down, around to get to her. And I got so nervous. This was the first time I had ever been nervous to see her. And I was like, why am I nervous? I just felt so nervous. I don't know. I still to this moment can't really explain why I felt nervous. So she's in the ICU, right? With those big sliding doors, those big glass sliding doors. And I tell the nurse, just wheel me to the door. I want to walk the rest of the way. Like, I don't want you to wheel me in there. I didn't want her to see me like that. Like, I really wanted to be like strong for her and be like, we got this. And the doors open and she's just like this. What happened? Her color was different. Her expression was different. She didn't even need oxygen. She just was perfection. By day 5, she looked like a different kid by day 5. This is crazy, right? Yeah. Because, you know, she's so complex otherwise, outside of the kidney thing, she's very complex. And even the doctors were like, we were bracing ourselves. We thought this was going to be knockdown, drag out. And
recovery weeks. Exactly.
She was in the hospital for 13 days before they discharged her after her transplant.
Wow.
I go, what is happening right now? it was just unbelievable. Even the doctors were like, this is crazy. This is nuts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a deeply, deeply emotional and spiritual journey. And it's just continued to get better and better. They say for people with kidney failure, people that are able to articulate it, they say it feels almost like you had a hangover.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Toxins are not getting out of your body.
It's like you had a hangover. So like how you feel when you have a hangover, like you're kind of achy and like nothing stays down and it's all kind of blurry and you're really tired. And then suddenly it goes away and you're like, oh, well, this is what the world looks like. And that's very much been our experience with Lily.
I was going to make a joke. Like I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what a hangover.
Me neither. No, me neither. So it's just like in her like cognition and her alertness and her weight and her ability to tolerate feedings. She has had zero seizures since the day they gave her a new kidney. She was having 5 a day. Zero.
Amazing.
She's gained. So it took her probably 5 years to gain 10 pounds in the old days. She's tiny. She's gained since January 11th. So less than 90 days, she has gained 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it just was like the key that unlocked the door.
And you gave it to her. How cool is that?
Oh my God. It's the coolest thing ever. So, and what's, this is really funny. And I know that you're a little bit spiritual too, but so when they gave us our transplant date, it was 1-1-1, January the 11th.
Yep.
And I was, you have got to be shitting me. Like you, that's not the real date. And she's like, no, January 11th. I was like, that's 1-1-1.
Magic number. Ooh, ooh, I got shivers.
Ooh. When they did that, I almost laughed because I was like, this is comical. This, ooh, ooh. This is crazy.
Ooh, my spirit team's going crazy right now. They're like, ooh, yes, yowza. Ooh, I'm getting shivers.
They were like, we're talking to you. Are you listening? So she's health-wise, she's doing freaking amazing.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know how it is to be a mom of someone that's up against some challenges. You become like the mom that can lift the car from your baby. Mm-hmm. You can just do it. You're like, I don't know where it came from. Like, you can just do it.
Yeah.
The beginning was really rough physically for me. Her dad definitely helped a lot in the beginning. The first 3 weeks, I couldn't even stay awake. I would just sleep beside her bed because I was like, I want to be here, but like, I can't keep my eyes open. I was carrying my heating pad everywhere I went, like to put my heating pad on my.
Yeah.
So yeah, but now I'm doing great. She's doing great. And also when she's good, I'm good, you know.
Mm. How has this affected your family?
It's crazy, right? So I was separated from my boys for 3 months and they used to come and visit in Boston because we were in Boston and we live in New York. So it's about a 3-hour drive. And I wanted them to have a very normal existence. So I wanted them to be home and go to school and like do all the normal things. I didn't need to upset the entire family. Between my mom and their dad, they were able to stay at home, really keep in their routine, see their friends, go to school, and they would visit sometimes on the weekends. I really tried to give them time to tell me. You know, it's a little bit harder for Luca to articulate it, but lucky he came to some of the surgery appointments with me. I was like, ask your questions, because he thought I was going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, Mom, you're going to die, right? And I was, no, baby, I promise you, I'm coming back. You can't get rid of me. But like, I let him go to some of the doctor's appointments before, and he got to ask his questions to the surgeon. And I think that made him feel really good about it. I thought that they were going to be upset with me, like I had chosen Lily over them, but it was the exact opposite. It has brought the four of us together so tight. Mm-hmm. It's just been the most incredible thing. It's just really, honestly, it's incredible. They're going to be such good boys growing up. They're going to be such good men from all of this as well. They have learned so much that other kids have not experienced in terms of compassion and faith and grace and kindness. They're just the sweetest, kindest. They're like glue to me now. They were close to me before, but they're like glue to me right now. I can't even leave the room. Mom, where are you? What are you doing?
They're giving you their love.
It's just like such a blessing and such an honor. Mm-hmm. And the old me, I think, would have been annoyed by that because mm-hmm. it's like a lot. And now I just love it. I just love it. Sit with me. Let's sit together. They're sleeping in my bed now. I'm like, I'm not sorry. Like, it's just really changed my entire mindset. My entire mindset is different. I'm so much more present with them now.
I'm proud of you.
It's really been a magical experience. Oh my God.
I mean, you don't even know me. But I'm just like, I wanted to say, and I think that came from much further away, you know, my spirit team was, no, we're really proud of her. We're really proud of you. You're doing such a beautiful service to everyone listening and to anyone who is contemplating a decision like this, you're giving them hope. And that, April, is hugely valuable, but you can't even really put words to it. Someone's going to hear this story and they're going to say, I can do it. I can do whatever I didn't think I could do.
Absolutely. I say to people all the time, we can do really hard things. You're way stronger than you think you are. I promise you, you will surprise yourself. And people are like, okay, I can do this now. It's such a blessing to be able to say that to someone and to really, truly, truly believe that and feel that, because it's true. And I wish there had been someone for me that was like, you can do this. You got this. I wish that someone was, you got this. You can do this. We can do hard things. So I just want to be what I didn't really have for myself, for other people, because I think it's a game changer. To feel like you're being seen, you know, it's just such a game changer.
You're seen.
Oh. It's such a blessing, and I return that tenfold. I want to keep paying it forward.
Well, you are. How can people find you?
So this Instagram thing was really an accident. I had a business before, a boutique, a women's boutique, and I was just kind of posting about store stuff and being, you know, myself. And then I went to this is crazy. I know this is a long-winded way to say this.
I love it.
I went to this psychic, and he's amazing. He's more like a tarot card reader, like spiritualist. I didn't know about any of this with Lily. And he kept saying, you need to be more authentic. And I was like, no, I'm pretty authentic. And he was, whatever you think you are, I want you to go deeper. And I kept thinking, like, what does he mean? I don't get it. I'm a real, you know, like I'm pretty authentic. When I got the news about Lily, I had made this video because I was just so overwhelmed with emotion. And there was no intention with the video. I just felt this urge to record it. And it was just this beautiful moment. And I'm holding her and I'm crying, thinking about everything. And I just, on a whim, post this on my business page. You know, whatever. I don't know why. It went crazy. It went viral. And then in the last 6 months, the following has been enormous. And I've just really been able to advocate and really inspire people. So the Instagram handle is This Pink Life I Live. And that's where you can find me. I've been giving to other people, but they've been giving to me too. So it's just been a really amazing, nothing is a coincidence. Nothing is an accident. There are no mistakes. That's all I can say.
I love that. That's a wonderful way to end it. There are no mistakes.
There are no mistakes. Everything is right on time.
Thank you for spending time with us, April, and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This was awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you found one or two meaningful nuggets of information to make your day better. If you think there's value in what we do, please take a moment to tell another friend, family member, or caregiver. We'd love to hear from you at forourspecialkids@gmail.com. You can send in a question, a comment, a topic that you'd like to learn more about, or if you'd like us to highlight a certain person, please send that information to us. It makes our show so much better and so much more valuable for you. Our Facebook and Instagram handle is For Our Special Kids. And finally, remember to witness the wonder and the wisdom within yourself and others. Until next time.